The Senate will please come to order. Clerk will please call the roll.
Atkinson, Atkinson, Bates, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dinkfelder, Dinkfelder, Ferrioli, Ferrioli, George, George, Gerard, Gerard, Hass, Hass, Johnson, Johnson, Cruz, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Monroe, Morissette, Morissette, Morse, Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Starr, Telfer, Telfer, Ferger, Ferger, Walker, Walker, Whitsett, Whitsett, Winters, Winters, President Courtney.
He's here.
I don't know that we're going to make it that far. Oh, yeah, she did put it on there. Okay.
A quorum being present, we will post the colors. And Senator Jeff Cruz will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. The minister who's to be here today is canceled, but I want to observe a moment of silence, and particularly as Joanne Lowe, Sir Brian Boquist's wife Peggy, I believe had surgery yesterday, so Peggy and Brian are they're struggling right now. Our good colleague, Senator Dave Nelson, went in the emergency room of Salem Hospital last night. He will be there for several days. So Senator Nelson, in the Salem Hospital, and Senator Margaret Carter is just moments away from having very serious surgery, her daughter. So I would ask that in this moment of silence we remember in our thoughts and prayers Senator Brian Boquist, his wife Peggy, and Senator Mara Carter, their daughter, as well as Senator Dave Nelson. Thank you, my colleagues. Thank you, Senator Cruz, for leading us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Chris McGeehee is the honorary page for Senator Brian Boquist. Olivia Dashane, Haley McCartney, and Ashley Streline they are honorary pages for Senator Floyd Brzezinski. Raquel Albee is the honorary page for Senator Jackie Winters. Greg Mills would be the honorary page for Senator Loy Montes Anderson. To all the honorary pages that have come on the floor today, we always look forward to greeting you as we begin our floor sessions. We know you've already been here since early this morning, and you will stay with us after our floor sessions throughout the day to help us get through the day and to do the business of the Senate. So I'd like to extend the courtesy of the Senate to all the honorary pages and tell you it's an honor and a privilege that you would come here today and help us with the work of the state of Oregon. We're now on the courtesies. We have a birthday. We have a birthday, Senator Farioli, Senator Burdick, Senator Morris. We have a birthday. Senator Girard is, I don't know how old he is, but this is his birthday. So it's time we sing to him. We need to do this because it makes us feel good and it makes us feel young. So I'll leave it up to Senator Farioli and Senator Morris and Senator Burdick to do whatever you're going to do now with Senator Girard. Birthday to you. You know, we really need to practice singing Happy Birthday, because it's okay, but we just need to work on that. Senator Loy Montes Anderson, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just wanted to let you know that Greg Mills, the honorary page that you just sent courtesies to, he goes to San Barlow High School and is on the speech and debate team, National Honor Society, and political awareness, so I'm just send specific courtesies to him from my district. Thank you.
Thank you for the telling me that. I can't find it here. I wish I was going to. I'm not going to guess on that mascot. Senator Floyd Brzezinski, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I also want to take an opportunity to recognize two of the pages that you've already mentioned. Ashley Streline is a 10th grader. She's at Glide High School, so they drove up from Douglas County this morning to be here at the Capitol. And then Haley Lynn McCartney is from Fern Ridge Middle School, a 7th grader. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Yeah, the word Sam threw me. It's not Sam Barlow. It is Sam Barlow, but it's Barlow. They're the Bruins, and so I didn't do real good on that. Thank you, Senator Brzezinski, again, for acknowledging your pages. Any more courtesies before I go to remonstrances? Remonstrances? Recognize Senator Chris Telfer, please.
I have the minute sesquicentennial today, and this minute, hopefully it's a minute, is from the Oregon Encyclopedia, the statewide project supported by Portland State University, the Oregon Historical Society, and the Oregon Council of Teachers of English, with generous support from the Oregon Cultural Trust. This History Minute is from an entry written by Peggy Lindquist. Black History Month, Reuben Shipley and Mary Jane Holmes Shipley. Reuben Shipley, a slave, traveled to Oregon country with his owner in the 1850s after making a deal to trade his services on the trail for his freedom when they arrived. Once in Oregon, he worked to earn enough money to purchase his wife and children still held in slavery in Missouri, only to learn that his wife had died. Even though African Americans were officially prohibited from owning land in Oregon, Shipley managed to buy 80 acres of land between Corvallis and Philomath for $1,500. Then he asked for Mary Jane Holmes' hand in marriage. Mary Jane was the daughter of slaves Robin and Polly Holmes, who had come west with their owner, Nathaniel Ford, in 1844, the same year the provisional government passed the Lash Law prohibiting both slavery and black settlement. Ford freed Mary Jane's parents after they had labored for years without pay, but he kept custody of their children. After one of the children died, Robin Holmes went to court to regain the other three. Oregon Supreme Court Justice George H. Williams ruled that because slavery was outlawed in the territory, Ford had no legal right to the children. He granted custody to their parents, all except Mary Jane, the oldest daughter. She remained with Ford, who demanded $700 from Reuben Shipley before he would release her. Reuben and Mary Jane Shipley raised three girls and two boys on their farm. In 1861, they deeded 2 acres from the Mount Union Cemetery, where they and their children are buried, along with some of the region's early abolitionists. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Telfer. The sesquicentennial minute. Other remonstrances? Recognize Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. President, colleagues. Mr. President, request a caucus for 15 minutes for the Senate Democrats.
Senator Farioli.
Yes, Mr. President, I think that would be a wonderful plan, and I support my colleague across the aisle.
Does that mean you're going to also caucus?
We are, Mr.
President. Caucus?
We're going to talk about blue sheet issues.
Okay. So both the leaders have asked for a 15-minute caucus, so we're going to come back in here at 11 o'clock this morning. The Senate will stand, is it at ease? What do I do, at ease? Yes, the Senate will be in recess until 11 a.m. this morning. The Senate will please come to order. The clerk, please call the roll.
Atkinson, Atkinson, Bates, Bates, Bonamici, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Burdick, Carter, Carter, Devlin, Devlin, Dingfelder, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, Ferrioli, George, George, Girard, Girard, Hass, Hass, Johnson, Cruz, Cruz, Metzger, Moz Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morissette, Morse, Morse, Nelson, Prozanski, Prozanski, Rosenbaum, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Starr, Telfer, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Walker, Whitsett, Whitsett, Winters, Winters, President Courtney.
He's there.
Can't get this out of here.
A quorum, Mr. President. Senate recess following the order of remonstrances and resume under the order of courtesies because I've been asked to go back to courtesies. Recognize Senator Monroe, please.
Thank you, Mr. President and members. I'd like to ask that courtesies of the Senate be extended to my son, Martin Monroe, who grew up around this building, and to my grandson, Miles Monroe, who are both with me at my desk.
Thank you. Martin and Miles, we're glad you came here today to be with your father and grandfather. It's an honor and privilege to have Senator Monroe's son and grandson. We hope they have a good day here, and they're already making their moves around the chambers, so I hope you can stay a while and watch this debate. It's always great to have children come onto our floor. Recognize Senator Winters.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, would you extend courtesies to the Institute for Continued Learning at Willamette? These are retired students who are in our galley, and they're semi-retired, I should say. They're the part of the Chronologically Advantaged Group, and they're here visiting us today. They're extremely active in our community, and please extend courtesies to them.
All right, thank you to the students of Willamette. We're glad you're here. You're on the south aisle, south balcony, which is the balcony closest to Great Willamette University. So we're very pleased you could come here today, get a chance to watch us debate and discuss. Thank you, Senator Winters, for introducing them. Hope the Bearcats have a good day in the state capitol. Thank you very much. While I'm at it, you got a silent auction going on in the Galleria. All of our offices prepared these baskets for the governor's food drive. Auction started at 8:30 this morning, ends at 4 o'clock this afternoon, so I hope you get a chance to go down there and bid on some of the baskets. They're extraordinary as we attempt to continue to try to raise money and food for the governor's food drive. We're doing a great job, the Senate is, so please, I know the office has worked hard on these baskets, so I hope you'll get a chance to do that. We'll now return to the regular order of business, which is the messages from the House, please.
Mr. President, whenever that's big reform, the House has passed House Bills 2194, 2275, 2279, 2250, 2272, and 2336.
The reports from the Conference Committee, reports from Standing Committees in accordance with SR 8.551 Committee Report Summary 19 was distributed to members this day. This information will be recorded in the Journal and the State's Report, and I so order it. Reports from the Special Committees, Propositions and Motions, recognized Senator Mark Hass.
Mr. President, I move the consideration of SCR 3 be taken from its place on today's calendar and placed on the Thursday, February 26th calendar.
Can I ask to move that SCR be taken from its place on today's calendar and moved on to the Thursday, February 26th calendar. Your motion?
Mr. President, special arrangements have been made with the family involved in this legislation, and that is a better day to do this.
Discussion? Question is on taking SCR 3 from today's calendar and placing on Thursday's February 26th calendar. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed, no. This motion has carried. Recognize Senator Metzger, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the rules be suspended and that the Senate confirm en bloc.
You have another motion in front of you.
I do.
Oh, that one.
We got a number of motions. Mr. President.
That's okay.
I move that SB 127 be taken from its place on today's third reading calendar and be re-referred to the Committee on Business and Transportation.
Senator Metzger's moved that SB 127 be taken from its place on today's third reading calendar and be re-referred to the Committee on Business and Transportation. To your motion, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. We're just going to do a little tweaking here and bring the bill back for you.
Thank you. Discussion? The question is on taking 127 from its place on today's third reading calendar and being referred to the Committee on Business and Transportation. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. This motion is carried. Action on executive appointments that require the Senate confirmation. Recognize Senator Metzger.
All right. Redo. Mr. President, I move the rules be suspended and that the Senate confirm en bloc the following appointments to the respective boards and commissions. State Board of Chiropractic Examiners, Ann Goldeen. Columbia River Gorge Commission, Barbara Roberts. State Board of Higher Education, Kirk Schuler. Home Care Commission, Judith Cuneo. Oregon Patient Safety Commission, Board of Directors, Norman Gruber. Commission for Women, Karen Shimada.
Senator Metzger has moved that the rules be suspended and the Senate confirm en bloc the governor's appointments to the respective boards and commissions that were listed. Discussion.
Thank you, Mr. President. Each of these individuals appeared before your Rules Committee a few days ago, and they were well received by the committee, and we appreciate their service, and we believe they will give valuable service to those respective commissions for the state of Oregon and would urge their adoption.
Thank you. Is there further discussion? The question is, shall the Senate suspend the rules and confirm en bloc the governor's appointments as listed? All those in opinion that the appointment should be confirmed will say aye as the names are called. All those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Gerard. Gerard.
Senator Gerard.
Aye. Hass.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz.
Aye.
Metzger.
Aye.
Juan Sanderson.
Aye.
Juan Rowe.
Aye.
Morissette.
Aye.
Morris.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Brzezinski.
Aye.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Schrader. Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Walker,
Walker,
Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, President Courtney,
yes,
not answering, Walker, excused, Boquist, Carter, Nelson, 27 ayes.
The Senate has confirmed the governor's appointments. Recognize Senator Ferrioli.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move the rules be suspended and that the Senate confirm en bloc the following reappointments to the respective boards and commissions: Oregon Board of Dentistry, Daryl Huddleston, Jill Mason, State Board of Higher Education, Kurt Schuller, State Parks and Recreation Commission, James Brown, Board of Commissioners of the Oregon International Port of Coos Bay, Jerry Hampel, Cady McEwen, Daniel Smith, Psychiatric Security Review Board, Robert McKelvey.
Senate Ferriero has moved the rules be suspended and the Senate confirm in block the governor's appointments, governor's reappointments to the respective boards and commissions as listed. Discussion, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, each and every one of these appointees for reappointment have demonstrated fitness to the satisfaction of the committee, and we recommend that their consideration be en bloc.
Thank you. Is there further discussion? Question is, shall the Senate confirm, suspend the rules and confirm en bloc that the governor's reappointments is listed? All those in the opinion of reappointment should be confirmed will answer aye. As the name is called. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Hass. Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz.
Aye.
Metzger.
Aye.
Montes Anderson. Monroe.
Aye.
Morissette. Morse.
Aye.
Nelson. Brzezinski. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Schrader.
Aye.
Starr.
Aye.
Telfer.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Whitsett.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Atkinson. Bates.
Aye.
Bonamici.
Aye.
Boquist. Burdick.
Aye.
Carter. Devlin. Dinkfelder.
Aye.
Ferrioli.
Aye.
George.
Aye.
Gerard.
Aye.
Gerard.
Aye.
President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Boquist, Carter, Nelson, 27 ayes.
Senate has confirmed the governor's reappointments. Recognize Senator Burdick. Recognize Senator Burdick.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the Senate confirm the appointment of Greg McPherson to the Land Conservation and Development Commission.
Senator Burdick moves that the Senate confirm the appointment of Greg McPherson to the Land Conservation and Development Commission. Discussion, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is a very strong nominee for the Land Conservation and Development Commission. Most of us here remember Greg McPherson as a colleague. He served in the House from the 2003 session through the 2007 session. He played a leading role on some of the policy issues of the day, including the PERS reforms and the development of ballot measure 49. As a former member of the Land Conservation and Development Commission, representing a similar area to Ms. McPherson, the Tri-County area, I especially appreciate his background in and sensitivity to issues around farming. Greg grew up on a dairy farm in Linn County, and his father, Hector McPherson, was the Republican co-sponsor with my state senator, the late Ted Halleck, of Senate Bill 100. He has a long history of personal and political experience in the issue of land use planning, and he will be a very strong participant in the Land Conservation and Development Commission. And I urge a yes vote on his appointment. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Burdick. Recognize Senator Ferrioli, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I will be voting no on this confirmation, and I'd like to explain to my colleagues why that will occur. I absolutely believe that the nominee is well qualified and well suited to serve on any of the several hundred boards or commissions that this state relies upon to do the work that it needs to do, without which volunteers we could never accomplish governance in the state of Oregon. But if you will recall, colleagues, one of the most controversial issues to come to this floor in the last legislative session was on Senate Bill 49. And colleagues, Republicans were pointedly excluded. That is, Senate Republicans were not allowed to serve on the committee, on the working group that crafted SB 49. Notwithstanding our requests and our admonitions and our pleading, members that we have that were highly qualified were not allowed to serve. When we pushed hard on that issue during the nomination of this candidate for this commission, Mr. McPherson told us that the reason Republicans were not allowed to serve was that it was his intention to structure the work of the subcommittee to avoid falling under the open meetings law, and that to bring those two additional Republicans would somehow trigger the open meetings issues. And we just thought that that was at least two reasons that created great difficulty. One is that the open meetings law is meant for the protection of Oregonians, and Oregonians should never watch their legislators, particularly those that are trained in the law, use their knowledge of the law and their skill to evade Oregon sunshine laws. The other reason that we thought was not acceptable was there is no reason to exclude Republican senators from a discussion of a referral that would go to the people that we can find in any case. So, Mr. President, even though I believe Mr. McPherson is eminently well qualified in a number of subjects, his connection to Senate Bill 100, which is familial, as a matter of fact, I think all of us revere Hector McPherson's legacy, it puts him in a position that we think is a bit conflicted. And when I asked whether or not the candidate could be impartial, given his familial connection and history with Senate Bill 100 and his obvious animosity to Senate Bill 37, and his structuring of the subcommittee or the work group on Measure 49, whether or not he would recuse himself if he felt there was a conflict, his explanation to me was that a person only experiences a conflict of interest if there's a direct financial at stake in the outcome. And I would just say that that's a little illogical, Mr. President. All of us know that conflict comes in many, many forms. And when I asked the candidate if he could be impartial, because many Oregonians actually believe that the outcomes of our land use system are rigged, as in what's happening in Jefferson County with the obvious attempt to overturn the county's approval of destination resorts with this artifice of the Matolian overlay. People believe the system is rigged. And so it's particularly important that what we do in this body and what the governor's office does, in fairness and in openness, appoint people that don't have an obvious bias. Appoint people that can be impartial. Appoint people that will, if necessary, recuse themselves from issues that they feel too close to. And in this nomination, at least, we're putting this person, who has served well and honorably within the Senate, or within the House, and within the Legislative Assembly, in a position where he will be conflicted on many, many votes. And I don't think it speaks well of our intent to have openness in government, have inclusiveness in government, and also to assure Oregonians that decisions that are made by one of the most important commissions in the state will be absolutely and scrupulously impartial. So for those reasons, Mr. President, I'm going to be voting no on this confirmation, although it pains me to do so because I think the candidate could serve very well and honorably in almost any other capacity. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Farioli. Further discussion? Recognize Senator Morissette, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Correct me if I'm wrong, but Hector McPherson was a farmer. Hector McPherson was a Republican. Is there a familial connection there with Greg McPherson?
Recognize Senator Devlin, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, members, I speak rarely on the floor, but I feel compelled today, not because I don't recognize that there are some issues in this appointment, and not that I haven't sat through several meetings where those issues have been brought forward, but I rise in support of the appointment of Greg McPherson to the Land Conservation Development Commission. Mr. McPherson has a distinguished history of service to this state. During his time in the legislature, he he demonstrated an in-depth knowledge of many complicated issues. I can recall on the floor here not long ago hearing him praised by both sides of the aisle for his work on the public employees retirement system, some of which his recommendations from the group that he worked with, the committees he worked with, I did not agree with. He obviously faced a very complicated issue, along with us, the good senator here, Senator Pruzanski, in regards to land conservation development and working with other members of this body on a very divisive issue. He showed tremendous leadership on some of the most divisive and important issues surrounding land use during his tenure here. I believe these skills will be an asset to the Land Conservation Development Commission as they fulfill their mission to coordinate and implement land use policy for this state. I had the pleasure of sharing part of my Senate district with then Representative McPherson, who represented the Northern District. He did an exemplary job of representing his constituents and responding to the concerns of Oregonians. I know he will do a great job representing all Oregonians in this new capacity as a member of the LCDC Commission. However, I do want to state, too, from a personal note, I have always known Representative McPherson to be a very upfront individual. Sometimes he would disagree with the position that you'd taken. He would always respect that position. But I think that there have been difficult discussions on this floor. There have been difficult discussions in committee. I always believe that any individual should be judged by the overall balance of all of their activities. I know that at sometimes he may have rubbed certain people the wrong way in consideration of items that came on this floor and on the House floor, but if that was a criteria for whether we appointed someone who had served in this body, I don't think many of us would ever be appointed to anything after we had served in this body. But I think he's an individual of very great character. I think that the fact that his family has a history in land use and his father was one of the basically one of the drivers of Senate Bill 100 is not a negative. It is actually a positive. One of the things that we do here in appointing various commissions is we try to reach balance on those commissions. If I was here talking about the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife Commission or the Board of Forestry Commission, which it took us about a year and a half to reach agreement on the Board of Forestry, we would be having a discussion about what the balance is and what interest the parties were bringing to the table. The fact that he has this interest in land use, the fact that his family has had this long-term history in land use, I believe is an asset to the commission, not a detriment, and I urge his support of his nomination.
Thank you, Senator. Recognize Senator Gerard, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Before I came to the legislature, I sat on a city council, and I just like to bring up the fact that the acronym LCDC to the cities oftentimes stands for Local Control Don't Count. And I feel very strongly that if we're going to put someone down there that is going to be partisan in one belief, I think we're just playing into that acronym. Thank you.
Thank you. Further discussion? Senator, could I have Senator Burdick? Well, you want to wait till she does her. All right, thank you. All right, Senator Burdick, would you please close?
Thank you, Mr. President. Just very briefly, this has been a good discussion, and I think there's no disagreement in this body about the basic qualifications of Mr. McPherson. I just think there's maybe a disagreement on what is the right place for him. We are very fortunate in Oregon that we have commissions that do very important policy work with citizens who work without pay. And I just think we are very fortunate to have someone of Greg McPherson's caliber willing to step up and take on this pretty heavy workload with the Land Conservation and Development Commission. I will also point out that it's a diverse commission. It's geographically diverse. There is a requirement that one member represent the county perspective, elected county official, current or former. There's a requirement that there be a city official, and there are geographic requirements to make sure that everyone in the state is represented on this commission. I think Greg McPherson will do a wonderful job representing the Tri-County area, Clackamas,
Multnomah and Washington County that he is being appointed to represent. But because of his background and his experience here in this body and growing up, I think we also get the bonus of having him represent all of Oregon, specifically the Oregon farming community and the concerns of agriculture. So I recommend an aye vote.
Thank you. Senator Raioli has demanded a call of the Senate, joined by Senator Devlin and Senator Burdick. The doorkeepers will bar the doors and the sergeant-at-arms will attend. The clerk will please call the roll.
Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dinkfelder, Farioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Mons Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney.
He is here. All members that are subject to the call are present. The question is, shall the Senate confirm the governor's appointment of Greg McPherson to the Land Conservation and Development Commission? All those of the opinion that the appointment should be confirmed will answer aye as the names are called. Those opposed, no. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz. Metzger.
Aye.
Mons Anderson. Monroe.
Aye.
Morissette.
Aye.
Morse. Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dinkfelder, Farioli, George, Girard, Haas, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused, Boquist, Nelson, voting no, Atkinson, Farioli, George, Girard, Cruz, Morse, Starr, Telfer, Whitsett, Winters. 18 ayes.
The Senate has confirmed the governor's appointment. Introduction and the first reading of Senate measures.
Senate Joint Resolution 23, expressing legislative support for efforts of Indian non-Muslim minorities of Jammu and Kashmir to establish autonomous homeland. Senate Bill 618, relating to military discharge records and court emergencies. Senate Bill 619, relating to income tax credits for voluntary services and prescribing effective dates. Senate Bill 620, relating to failure to yield. Senate Bill 621, relating to Oregon Production Investment Fund and prescribing effective dates. Senate Bill 622, relating to geese and court emergencies. Senate Bill 623, relating to water utility metering. Senate Bill 625, relating to Ewing Young. Senate Bill 626, relating to driving while under the influence of toxins. Senate Bill 627, relating to justice courts and court emergency.
These are transmitted to the President's desk for referral. Second reading of Senate measures. Third reading of Senate measures. The clerk will please read the bill.
Senate Bill 403, relating to wrongful death actions, court emergency.
Recognize Senator Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 403 comes to you from the Senate Judiciary Committee, where it passed unanimously. It has no fiscal or revenue impact. This bill affects the surviving family of someone whose life has been cut short by the wrongful conduct of another. Oregon's wrongful death statute describes how the court distributes any settlement or judgment to the family of the decedent. For most of the categories of damages, the courts can distribute the proceeds according to the wishes of the beneficiaries if they all agree. But absent such an agreement, distribution is based on Oregon intestate succession, which means that the state law that provides for the inheritance of property from a person who dies without leaving a will decide how the family gets the money. With any award of punitive damages, however, the court can only follow intestate succession even if all the beneficiaries agree on a different distribution. Senate Bill 403 changes that inconsistency and permits distribution according to the agreement of all of the beneficiaries. This bill does not change the requirement that 60% of the damages, punitive damages, go to the state, or the requirement that the beneficiaries pay income tax on the distribution. I urge your aye vote on Senate Bill 403. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Bonamici. Discussion. Question now rises upon the third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 403. Those in opinion of the bill shall pass. Say aye. The names call those opposed. No. Clerk, please call the roll.
Cruz. Metzger. Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Prozanski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dinkfelder. Dinkfelder. Ferrioli. George. Girard. Hass. Johnson. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Boquist. Nelson. 28 ayes.
Senate Bill 403, having received a constitutional majority, declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 131, related to the Board regulating naturopathic medicine.
Recognize Senator Cruz.
Thank you, Mr. President and colleagues. In 1927, there was created a board of naturopathic examiners. At that point in time, the board created the exam and administered the exam. Fast forward to today, the board no longer either creates the exam or administers the exam. So what this bill does is simply change their name to reflect what they actually do. So rather than being the Board of Naturopathic Examiners, they will now be the NORDA Board of Naturopathic Medicine. It's a clarity issue. I urge an aye vote.
Thank you, Senator Cruz. Further discussion? Question now rises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 131. Those in opinion, bills shall pass. Say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Metzger.
Aye.
Montes Anderson. Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Prozanski. Prozanski. Rosenbaum. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin.
Aye.
Dinkfelder. Ferrioli. George. Girard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Boquist. Nelson. Voting no. George. 27 ayes.
Senate Bill 131, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 132, relating to the Board of Naturopathic Examiners.
Recognize Senator Telfer, please.
Thank you. Senate Bill 132 comes from the Committee on Human Services and Rural Health Policy with a unanimous do pass recommendation. Senate Bill 132 amends Chapter 685, Section 110 and Section 125. While there are no substantive changes, the bill does change the fact that the civil penalty authority in Section 685.110 is not consistent with the civil penalty authority in 685.990. During the 2007-09 legislature, the civil penalty in Section 990 was increased to $5,000 and inadvertently remained $1,000 in Section 110. Also, the language in 685.125 is archaic and hard to understand. In an effort to use plain language wherever possible, the recommendation is a person's right to a hearing regarding licensure and the board's authority to adopt rules. The committee recommends a aye vote.
Thank you, Senator Telfair. Discussion. Question now rises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 132. Those in the opinion bill shall pass. Say ayes. Names called. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Monte Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morris. Nelson. Prezansky. Prezansky. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfair. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Devlin. Dinkfelder. Ferrioli. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Boquist. Nelson. 28 ayes.
Senate Bill 132, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 19, related to minors.
Recognize Senator Morissette, please.
Mr. President, I move that consideration of SB 19 be taken from its place on today's calendar and placed on Wednesday, February 25th calendar.
Senator Morissette has moved the consideration of SB 19 be taken from its place on today's calendar and placed on Wednesday's February 25th calendar. Your motion, please.
We need further discussion on this measure.
The question is on taking SB 19 from today's calendar and placing it on Wednesday's February 25th calendar. All those in favor say aye. Aye. Those opposed, no. This motion is carried. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 50, relating to deadlines for notices of claim on contracts, payment bonds, and declaring emergency.
Recognize Senator Schrader.
Colleagues, Senate Bill 50 comes to you from the Senate Committee on Business and Transportation with a due pass recommendation. Oregon's public contracting code requires public works general contractors to provide payment bonds equal to the full contract price for the protection of persons providing labor or furnishing materials on such contracts. Also, contractors working on prevailing wage projects are required to file $30,000 public works bonds for the purpose of paying unpaid prevailing wages. When complaints are filed, the Bureau of Labor and Industries works to resolve them before the deadlines for filing claims against the bonds. Extending the claim filing deadline will give additional time for BOLI to resolve complaints without filing claim notices on contractors' bonds and to file more accurate claim notices when necessary. Senate Bill 50A extends the filing deadline for labor or supplier claims from 120 to 180 days following the last day labor or furnished materials were provided. Senate Bill 50A extends the filing deadline for employee benefit claims from 150 to 200 days. And finally, Senate Bill 50A originates from a recommendation by BOLI's Prevailing Wage Advisory Committee.
Thank you, Senator Schrader. Discussion. Question now arises upon a third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 50A. Those in opinion bill shall pass. Say ayes. Name is called. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Monroe. Morissette. Morris. Nelson. Prezansky. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfair. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dinkfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Juan Anderson. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Boquist, Nelson, 28 ayes.
Senate Bill 58, having received a constitutional majority, declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 82, relating to preparation of state auditor budget report.
Recognize Senator Hass.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 82, simply put, changes the requirements for the Oregon State Lottery Commission budget report to the governor, legislative fiscal officer, and the legislative revenue officer from biennial to annual. Currently, the Lottery Commission report places the biennial budget report, and this bill allows the legislature to have an annual, as opposed to the current biennial, look at the lottery's performance. Having this annual report will allow the legislature to adequately prepare for the lottery's impact on the budget. This was brought to us by the lottery to better align them with their own annual budgeting process. It also removes redundant and obsolete language from this statute. This is a simple change that has no opposition.
Thank you. Discussion. Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of SB 82A. Those in opinion, bills shall pass. Say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Morissette. Morissette.
Morissette.
Morse. Nelson. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Devlin, Dinkfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Hass, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Juan Sanderson, Monroe, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Boquist, Nelson, 28 ayes.
The Senate Bill, A2A, I received a constitutional majority, declared passed. Without objection, return to order, courtesy, Senator Carter.
Ooh. Mr. President, so much. Today, I would like for you to extend courtesies for Construction Equity Day participants. And I'm very, very pleased to hear that, because as we prepare for stimulus packages and stuff of that nature, Mr. President, the following groups are visiting us: the National Association of Minority Contractors, Oregon Association of Minority Entrepreneurs, Oregon Tradeswomen Incorporated, the Youth Build, Irving Covenant Constructing Hope Program, Coalition for a Livable Future, Allies of Tradespeople, Apprentices, and Contractors who support also construction equity. So I'd appreciate the Senate welcoming these groups with us here today.
It's a pleasure to welcome all those groups. I'd like to extend official courtesies to the Senate, too. I think they're in the back gallery there. So thanks for coming to the state capitol, and thanks for attending our session today. Hope you find it educational. Thank you very much. Senator Rosenbaum, do you have a courtesy? You do not. I was told you did. We'll now turn to the regular order of business, which is the third reading of Senate measure. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 98, relating to Veterans Transportation Corps Emergency.
Recognize Senator Schrader.
Thank you, colleagues. First, I'd like to start by thanking the Committee on Health Care and Veterans Affairs. I do not serve on that that particular committee. They graciously allowed me to carry this bill because I served on the Governor's Task Force on Veteran Services, and this bill is a result of that work. Senate Bill 98 establishes a task force with a sunset provision that will create a statewide transportation plan to assist veterans in accessing health care facilities. The task force will submit a report and may include recommendations for legislation to do an interim committee of the Legislative Assembly related to veterans no later than October 1st, 2011. The Department of Veterans Affairs will provide staff support to the task force, and task members will serve as volunteers and not be entitled to compensation or reimbursement for expenses. Access to medical care, colleagues, continues to be one of the most important issues today facing veterans, especially in rural areas of Oregon. The major veterans health care facility is located in Portland, with smaller clinics located in regions throughout Oregon. Transportation to these facilities is a major obstacle in accessing medical care. The task force will create a transportation system and plan that will focus on access and transportation to medical care in Oregon.
Further discussion? Question now rises upon the third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 98. Those opinion bills are passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk will please call the roll.
Morse. Nelson. Prezansky. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dinkfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Juanes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Boquist, Nelson, 28 ayes.
Senate Bill 98, I received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Would the clerk please read the bill?
Senate Bill 119, relating to discipline by teacher standards and practice commission, court emergency.
Recognize Senator Frank Morris.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 119 comes from the Senate Committee on Education and General Government. And colleagues, this is a bill that corrects an unintended consequence. Under current law, the Teacher Standards and Practice Commission has to suspend the license of an educator who resigns without giving 60 days notice to their school district. In practice, due to the amount of time that passes before the commission can consider the case, the requirement often results in the teacher being suspended while employed at another district. This can cause a hardship on the district that's currently employing the teacher. Senate Bill 119 allows the commission to discipline, but not necessarily suspend, a teacher who quits without giving 60 days notice. The bill was unanimously supported in committee and carries a minimal fiscal impact. Recommend an aye vote, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Morris. Further discussion? Question now rises upon the third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 119. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Nelson. Prezansky. Prezansky. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dinkfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Juanes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Boquist, Nelson, 28 ayes.
Senate Bill 119, Amendment Chief Constitutional Majority, declared passed. Clerk reads the bill, please.
Senate Bill 120, relating to first aid cards and court emergency.
Recognize Senator Mark Hass, please.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 120 reflects a change in law by no longer requiring teachers and other school personnel to have a first aid card in order to obtain a teaching license. This is a housekeeping measure and an attempt to clean up statutes from a repeal of this measure in February. Passed unanimously. There's no opposition.
Thank you. Further discussion? Question now arises upon the third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 120. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Prezansky. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dinkfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Mons Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Boquist, Nelson. Voting no. Atkinson, Gerard. 26 ayes.
Senate Bill 120, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 121, relating to requirements for school personnel in court emergency.
Recognize Senator Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, Senate Bill 121 comes to you from the Senate Committee on Education and General Government. Currently, teachers seeking a license in Oregon are tested on the Federal Civil Rights Act as well as other federal and state statutes prohibiting discrimination. The Teacher Standards and Practices Commission drafted Senate Bill 121 to require that first-time teaching applicants also be tested on ethical standards of professional conduct. Although the Commission could incorporate this requirement without legislative approval, putting the requirement in statute will ensure that future teaching applicants, regardless of changes in the Commission, will have to demonstrate knowledge of ethical standards. I urge your aye vote. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Bonamici. Discussion. Recognize Senator Ted Farrioli.
Thank you, Mr. President. This may be becoming tiresome, but this is an opportunity for me to send yet another message to teacher standards and practices. Colleagues, they do not do anything to test teacher competency. So we have a situation where we've got teacher standards and practices, and yes, they do all the stuff that you'd want them to do on background checking and education and the fitness to teach, but they don't try to determine whether the teacher being hired is competent in the subject matter in which they're teaching. They have never done it. They don't do it. And as long as we keep letting them not do it, they won't do it. So I'll be voting no, Mr. President. Thank you.
Thank you. Further discussion? Senator Bonamici, do you wish to close?
No, thank you, Mr. President.
Question authorized upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 121. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Rosenbaum. Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Schrader.
Aye.
Starr.
Aye.
Telfer.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Walker. Walk. Whitsett. Winters.
Aye.
Atkinson. Bates,
aye.
Bonamici,
aye.
Boquist, Burdick,
aye.
Carter,
aye.
Devlin,
aye.
Dinkfelder,
aye.
Farrioli,
aye.
George,
aye.
Gerard,
aye.
Haas,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Cruz, Metzger, Montez Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morris, Nelson, Brzezinski, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused, Boquist, Nelson, voting no, Farrioli, George, Whitsett.
Senate Bill 121, having received a constitutional majority, declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 141 relating to regulation of escrow agents.
Recognize Senator Rosenbaum, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I bring you Senate Bill 141A, which comes to you from the Senate Committee on Consumer Protection and Public Affairs. This bill deals with the extremely important function of escrow agents, who would be vital to our real estate transactions under any circumstances, but even more so in this time of housing crisis. Senate Bill 141 is the result of a work group of agency personnel and escrow industry representatives. And as you know, escrow agents are required to be licensed by statute to conduct business in Oregon. So this bill makes several changes. It requires the real estate commissioner to establish escrow agent licensing system through administrative rules and provides criteria for that licensing system. It also requires fingerprint and background checks for initial escrow agent applicants. It allows the real estate commissioner to require additional information from licensees or applicants. And finally, it allows the commissioner to impose disciplinary action for demonstrated incompetence, for acts of fraud or dishonesty, and conducting substantially related to applicant or licensee fitness findings. It also allows disciplinary action for failure to maintain a surety bond. Colleagues, this bill comes with a unanimous recommendation with one member absent, and it has no revenue impact, a minimal fiscal impact, and I urge your aye vote.
Thank you, Senator. Discussion. Question now rises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 141. Those opinion bills shall pass. Say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Schrader. Schrader. Starr. Telfer.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Whitsett. Winters.
Aye.
Atkinson. Bates. Bates. Bonamici.
Aye.
Boquist. Burdick.
Aye.
Carter.
Aye.
Devlin.
Aye.
Dingfelder. Barioli.
Aye.
George.
Aye.
Gerard.
Aye.
Hass. Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz.
Aye.
Metzger.
Aye.
Montez Anderson.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Morissette.
Aye.
Morse.
Aye.
Nelson. Przanski.
Aye.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Boquist, Nelson, voting no. Cruz, 27 ayes.
Senate Bill 141A, having received constitutional majority, is declared passed. Without objection, the same remaining Senate measures will be carried over until tomorrow's Wednesday's calendar, which is February 25th. First reading of House measures.
House Bill 2079, relating personal flotation devices. House Bill 2194, relating Oregon medical insurance pool. House Bill 2250, relating liquor licenses. House Bill 2272, relating medical support. House Bill 2275, relating child support. House Bill 2230, House Bill 2336, relating impeachment witnesses.
Transmit to the President's desk for referral. Second reading of House measures. The third reading of House measures, without objection, the House measures will be carried over to tomorrow's calendar, which is Wednesday, February 25th. Other business of the Senate, according to the SR 8.403 committee referral list number 464748, were distributed to members of February 23rd. The referrals will be received in the journal, will be recorded in the journal. The State Report is so ordered. Under announcements, recognize Senator Ferrioli.
Mr. President, we have a caucus immediately following the session, and Mr. President, after announcements, I'd request permission to return to the order of remonstrance.
I thank you. Any other? All right. Here's some deadlines. Remember, I talked to you about the Galleria, and the baskets are down there with the silent auction. Our offices have worked very hard on those baskets. The money that's being raised is to go to the governor's food drive. Here's some of the deadlines. We are starting daily four sessions. We may not convene on Friday if we move through enough of our work this week. Next Monday, March 2nd, is the last day of bills to be introduced other than your two priority bills. Next Monday, March 2nd. All Senate measures must be filed with the Secretary of the Senate's office by 5 p.m. Monday, next Monday. April 17th is the last day for policy committees, with the exception of revenue rules, to consider and to schedule a work session on Senate measures. April 28th is the last day for policy committees, with the exception of revenue rules, to hold a work session on a Senate measure. That means April 28th is the last day for policy committees to approve a Senate bill. I realize there's not a lot of senators here, but for the record, I'll be repeating that over and over again. Without objection, we return to the order of remonstrance. Senator Ferrioli.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, in the order of business of confirmations, we confirmed en bloc Governor Barbara Roberts to the Gorge Commission, and I neglected to ask for permission to have Governor Roberts separated out to speak to her appointment, but I will do that now under remonstrances, Mr. President. It's my pleasure to have supported Governor Roberts' nomination to the Gorge Commission. I was very, very honored and pleased to serve with her and continue to do so on the Sesquicentennial Commission for Oregon. The Gorge Commission is facing some of its most interesting challenges with air quality and scenic area issues related to cultural and recreational opportunities in the Gorge, but it's also going to be facing the expansion of the urban growth boundaries of both the cities of Hood River and the Dalles. And in order to pilot through those issues, it's going to take somebody of extraordinary intelligence, dedication, and a person who can easily find balance and maintain equilibrium. And I think Governor Roberts is that kind of person. So I'm proud to have voted for her confirmation and proud to stand up and speak in favor of her nomination. And I will be looking to Governor Roberts as the person to whom people can go and get a fair hearing for issues that are certain to be controversial. Thank you, Mr. President. I appreciate the return to remonstrances.
Thank you.
Without objection, we turn to the regular order of business. We're under announcements. There's no further announcements. For our session schedule this week, the Senate will convene at 10:15 tomorrow, 10:15, and on Thursday at 10:15 as well. Whether we meet on Friday or not depends on how well we are able to work with our calendar. There's no further objection. The Senate is now adjourned.